Welcome to the Haven Exchange Podcast number 29. On this episode, we talk about diversity. Diversity in the movies and TV, as well as in the workplace. Discussing hot-button catchphrases like forced diversity. We also dive a little bit into diversity of thought. And so I think you all really enjoy what we have to say this week as we exchange our thoughts, ideas, perspectives, mixed with a bit of silliness. Moving on over to the Haven Exchange Corkboard. If you haven't already seen, we are on Patreon. So if you are looking to further support the show beyond tuning in each week, head over to patreon.com/Haven Exchange and check out the many subscription options we have available there. We want to thank all of our current Patreon members, and big shout outs to Nerder She Wrote, our silver tier patron. Thank you for your continued support. Alright, it's time to kick things off. I hope you all enjoyed this week's Haven Exchange number 29, Forced Diversity and the Diversity of Thought. Enjoy. What's up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Haven Exchange Podcast. I am one of the hosts here, Genesis, and I've got somebody else with me. Who's with me? Say hello.
What is going on, everybody? It is Rick.
Oh, hey, Rick.
Mm-hmm. How's it going? How's it going?
It's going swimmingly. There is an absence here, though. We're missing a host.
We're missing a few people, but you know, they said something about a rally or something they needed to go to. So, you know, they had to, you know, they had priority.
Okay. Well, they some skags.
Exactly.
Skags. We are here to bring you another episode of the Haven Exchange this week, and we have a bit of a deeper topic to go over today. Rick, why don't you let them know what we're going to be talking about on this episode?
This episode is going to be about diversity, and it's going to be about all sorts of, you know, about diversity being good and diversity being forced, and whether or not it's, you know, important in some instances, you know.
Wait, are you going to argue that diversity is bad?
No, I'm thank you for that. No, I am going to argue that diversity is good, but I think we need to also think about all, like, every avenue of diversity. So not just diversity of skin color, but I would like diversity of thought as well.
Sure.
You know,
it's important.
Yeah. Like, I don't want it to be just, hey, let's hire this person just because of the color of their skin. Mm-hmm. I think there was a guy who actually marched against something like that. But, you know, what do I know? But but I also want, because, like, you don't want to hire someone on their skin color, but their thoughts are just awful. Mm-hmm. Like they believe in rounding people up, and, you know, like one of our calls, we're just rounding people up and wanting to, you know, have them sleep in camps or something like that. You know,
we pay our editors very well. we put a stop to that. Yes, the whole production cast. I assure you, they are well paid and they are not in cages. Shut up back there.
That is funny.
But so yeah, is that what you're, when you talk about forced diversity, is that what you're kind of alluding to, is hiring based upon the color of somebody's skin?
Well, yes, but then also on the other side, take Hollywood, for example. Hollywood always tries to force diversity when it does not make sense. Mm-hmm. Okay, so take, for instance, the new announcement of the Resident Evil Netflix series. They just announced that Lance Riddick is going to play Wesker. If you mm-hmm. don't know who Lance Riddick is, he is the relatively tall black gentleman who, if you've seen any of the John Wick movies, he's the concierge at the hotel.
Amazing actor.
Yeah, amazing actor. Great actor. But when you look at Wesker, he's the polar opposite. Not if you don't even take into account the skin color. Wesker has a head full of hair. Lance Riddick does not. Wesker's main goal, his entire ideology, is you could basically boil it down to white supremacy. So okay. Why on earth would you want a black person to play a guy whose goal is to rule the world?
Well, I mean, devil's advocate here, okay? Mm-hmm. When the idea or the conversation of forced diversity comes up, usually the argument boils down to just hire the best person for the job, right?
Right, right.
And so in this example, we know he is an incredible actor, so he technically could have been the best person for the job, right?
That's true. That's true. That he very well could have been the best actor for the job. I am curious though about, I'm curious as to, I would love to see all of the actors who auditioned for this role.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I guarantee you someone in there fits the character more. But now to help you with your devil's advocate, you see people that say, well, it's a fictional character. You know, sure. It's the motivation behind the character that really, mm-hmm. It's not their appearance. It's the motivation, right? That makes that character who they are. But again, Wesker he's like adjacent to a white supremacist. Like he's right there as a white supremacist. Like, right. I just don't understand how that's like Leonardo, or that's like Samuel L. Jackson playing Leonardo DiCaprio's part in Django Unchained. You know what I mean? Like that doesn't make any sense why you would do something like that.
So it's bad casting of a good actor.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
But like, you think it's motivated by what culture, where like the stance of culture is right now, where there has to be more representation in TV and film.
Yeah. And I understand that. Representation in Hollywood is low, right? For people of color. Completely agree uh-huh. with that. But I'm just not a big fan of recasting characters that are already one race mm-hmm. and then recasting them as a minority. Like to me, that feels like a hand-me-down. Like that,
sure.
That feels like, hey, you know, instead of giving your own original character or instead of empowering black voices that have created original characters, let's just take another character and make him something else that, you know, damn near contradicts the character in the first place.
Right. Now, we also see on the other side, and maybe earlier in the days of Hollywood, where, you know, the idea of whitewashing, where there were characters that are non-white descent that are played by white actors. So we do see it on kind of both sides, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, but like, okay, so what was that movie? Gods in Egypt or something like that? Mm-hmm. I think that was the name of the movie. Where, yeah, the character was, or I'm sorry, they were all Egyptian. And the act, like Sigourney Weaver, I think, was in the movie. who's not, you know,
or Prince of Persia, Jake yeah. Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal to be. Yeah, they just tanned him up a little bit, like, you know. Or, damn it, I had the thought and then I forgot it just that quick. But yeah, there's all kinds of examples of it flipping and going the other way, where they, Tilda Swinton, mm-hmm. I can't remember her character's name in Doctor Strange.
Is it just but like that, the one or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. But that character in the comics is an older Asian man.
Right.
And Kevin Feige said in an interview that they didn't want to have him be an older Asian man because they didn't want to kind of feed into that stereotype. That's where it gets tricky, though, because then now for the sake of diversity and not offending people who are forcing or who are trying to force diversity, you're now stealing a role from someone of the class that you're trying to help in the first place.
Damned if you do, damned if you
it's,
don't.
Right. It's like, I get it. I feel like their head was in the right place. They didn't want to be offensive. But then at the same time, it's like, first of all stereotypes are stupid, right? Mm-hmm. Because there are millions of people out there that don't conform to whatever stereotype you've put on that race, right?
Right.
I don't like watermelon, for instance. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know who the fuck started that stereotype that all black people, you know, I know how to swim. Like, I don't know where people are getting these stereotypes from. Because
I don't smell like a wet dog.
Exactly. You may not smell
it. It's raining out and I've been standing in it. But yeah, that's
right. Right. All stereotypes are stupid. You know, all of them. If you can generalize an entire group of anything, it's dumb. It doesn't make any sense. Same thing with I'm not going to go there.
The idea of stereotypes, I think, is important in the topic of forced diversity, though, because do we see Hollywood further strengthening stereotypes when they cast minority actors into these roles and then they play into the stereotypes? That seems like a bad thing to me.
The only reason why I can't agree with that is because you can't accept people to accept your culture. And then when they accept your culture, you're now yelling at them because it's feeding into the stereotype. It's like again, going back to the one from Doctor Strange, that mm-hmm. there are really Chinese monks that look and act like that. Right.
Right.
So are you telling me that because of a stereotype of idiots, you're people that believe that stereotype or whatever it is that may be, you're telling me because of that, you're going to fundamentally change what you're doing? You know what I mean?
Like, right. Well, I think that falls more into trope than stereotype. It's like, mm-hmm. we always see in Hollywood film, we always see the wisdom character, the guider to the adventurer on the path, you know, talking like, you know, straight up storytelling techniques. Mm-hmm. You know, it's often an old Asian dude. So yeah. It's kind of a trope. Whoa. And I don't know if that's stereotypical. It's stereotypical to films for that role to be that character. Mm-hmm. So recasting that, I don't know what they could have held to the source material and people could have accepted that it was source mm-hmm. and therefore not a trope. I don't know. I don't know how people would have reacted if they casted to the source material.
Right. Now, there are some instances where there should be some changes. Like, okay, this is a funny one, but are you familiar with Harry Potter?
Yes.
Obviously, you're familiar with Harry Potter. That was a stupid question. But what I mean is I'm not familiar enough to know any names or anything like that, aside from like a few, because
you obviously haven't seen it.
I saw the first movie and that was it. I never saw anything after that. I did not read the books, so I'm not familiar with it. But I do remember on another podcast that I was listening to, they were referring to how I think they were trolls that were in the Harry Potter, and they kind of, they're heavily referring to Jewish people, how they like run the banks and all that, you know, those.
Okay. The goblins. And,
right. Goblins. Right. Right. And how, you know, they were dissecting it like, yo, this is like, if you were looking at this, this looks like straight up 1945 German propaganda, you know, like, but these are books that are what? 30 years old, 25, 30 years old or something like that.
By now, yeah, shit, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, because I remember, I think I was in like eighth grade or something like that when the first movie came out, which would have been 2001. So, mm-hmm. And that's just the first movie, and I, you know, whenever the books came out before that.
Well, if you know Goblin, in general, speak with Dungeons and Dragons and whatnot, you know, they're usually the ones that are really sure. After gold and right. And
after your
and,
money, crooked nose, yeah. Long, crooked noses, and yeah, it's a little on the nose when it comes to Jewish people.
Well, that's thing though, is right. The goblin itself has that as its background. It's clearly not a human, right? It's a new creature. But was the original goblin built in such a way to be semi representative of Jewish people? Possibly.
Yeah. I mean,
but also if you were right. Yeah. But if you were to see goblins in, say, in fine garb in a castle, like basically in the same light as how you would imagine elves would be, it would feel off. You wouldn't expect the goblins to be in that because of what we know to be of goblins in literature and video games. And it doesn't make sense for them to be in that. It makes sense for them to, you know, either be in caves or running banks and whatnot. So, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I get what you're saying. Like, that's the lore of those creatures, right?
Let me flip it though for you before you continue. With having said that, we would expect, say, goblins to, you know, be in caves and whatnot. Is that the same thinking that Hollywood applies to black people when it comes to, we expect them to always be criminals or gangbangers, right? And that representation and perpetuating those types of stereotypes because that's what people have always known them to be, you know, like,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's where the problem is though.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Like, and you know, who gets it pretty badly are black women in particular, where, yeah. You know, you name any movie and there's a black woman in there, they always try to portray them as, you know, either sassy or angry or,
right.
Just you know, rude or whatever the case may be. And I mean, if you talk to most, I'm willing to go on a limb here and say most black women are not any of that, you know.
Sure.
Now again, I'm a little biased because, you know, I'm raising two black women or black girls, and then I'm, you know, I was raised by black women, so so I see them as powerful people. But I wish the media would kind of switch it up a little bit, you know, like, I don't want to stop people from telling the stories that they want to tell. But I also want the other stories to be amplified, the stories of women empowerment, black women specifically. And, you know, no disrespect to anyone else, trans people or anybody in any sort of group. But black people in general, they definitely deserve better, of course. Now, I will say, though, that one of the things that has kind of always been annoying to me, especially with black men, is how they're always either a thug or a criminal or in the gutter trying to get their life together or something like that, you know?
Right. Well, now you got one as Wesker. So,
I mean, that's true, but he's trying to take over the world. Like, he's trying to blow the whole world up, you know?
Character.
Right. That's true. But I don't know, man. Like, I just wish I want new original characters. I don't want Superman. I don't want Clark Kent to be black. I want a original black character to be Superman. Same thing with James Bond. You know, that's a tricky one, though, because people were up in arms about the actress from Captain Marvel. She was Captain Marvel's best friend in the movie.
Allison Brie?
No, not Allison Brie, but her black best friend in the movie.
Oh, okay.
She's supposed to be the new 007. She's supposed to be taking over the moniker, right? But that's where it gets tricky, because in this case, it's just a moniker.
Like, right, it's not James Bond.
Exactly. James Bond is not going
that's
to be
completely
black.
Different.
Right, and that's not what I'm talking about. I don't want people to hear this and hit me up and be like, yeah, F them. You know, like, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I don't want a character who is like, that'd be like someone recasting Johnny Bravo as The Rock, you know, or
Do you
Rock
think that's forced diversity that's happening with James Bond and the potentially casting a black female?
No, I don't think that's, because again, it's the moniker that's being passed on to the next person, to the next generation.
Yeah, but when I think of forced diversity, I'm thinking of it in a way that roles are cast per the color of somebody's skin in order to show that they are an inclusive company or appealing to the culture. So they're only looking for maybe somebody of color for that role just so they can appease the cultural sentiment right now that's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, I think you're right with that, like, whether they're trying to cast, you know, any minority that they, you know, that they want to put in the role. And the idea is for them to kind of show that they're willing to include all sets of people.
Mm-hmm. And when you see like a commercial or an ad now or certain billboards, you see, you know, a person of every nationality basically in the picture or the frame or the commercial has, you know, somebody from different nationalities and races in there, and people call that out as forced diversity. And usually the sentiment is that it's disingenuous. Like that's, and it's hard to kind of pinpoint where that feeling of genuine or not genuine it is when it comes to TV, film, and advertisements. What do you kind of think about that?
Like as far as how they market something to a specific group? Like how, like,
no, not marketing to a group, but just the casting of characters and roles to create a false diversity, I guess, where there's this feeling from the viewers that it's forced in order to appease the viewers, that they're showcasing sort of as a trophy, like, hey, look, we're diversity. We got a black person. We got somebody from India. We got an Asian in there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like, why do you think that people feel that that's not a genuine attempt to create diversity versus forcing diversity in order to seemingly be one with the viewers or, you know, the woke crowd or however you want to say it?
I think a lot of time, like, well, first of all, when you see that situation happen, where I see it relatively often, at least because I'm on Twitter every day, but I see it every day whenever a new trailer is released, you know, you scroll through the comments, it's always one person that's like, I didn't notice any black people in this trailer. Where are the people of color? You know, where's this group? Where's that group? And I understand wanting to fight for representation, you know, because I know some people may not want to hear it, but representation does matter. You know,
but are those comments what's causing the forced diversity then?
I think it is. And I was going to get to that too, where I think companies are listening to the vocal minority. Like, mm-hmm. I think by and large, most people don't give a shit. I think when you go to a movie theater or when you go anywhere, you see anything at all on TV, I think most people are sitting in their house going like, oh man, either that looks good or that looks like shit. You know, I don't think most people are going, you know what? I didn't notice any black people. Now I'm not saying that again, for anybody who did not understand what I just said, I didn't say all people are like that. I said, I think most people. So, you know, again, let me reiterate it. Most does not mean all. I think most people don't give a shit. But when you,
you yourself as a black man, when you watch a movie that you're not race counting and tallying up the equality of races that's happening in the cast.
No, I'm not. But it's not fair to ask me. And the only reason why I say that is because a lot of times when people are asking for this diversity, it's because they want the younger people to see someone who looks like them on the big screen. And it's a way to motivate them and let them realize that you are more than just your skin color. You know,
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's a good tool to stop racial bias.
Yeah.
If you see that in the TVs and movies, and I mean, even it's something that's not, I don't know if it's really grouped into this as much, but you know, when you think of, I remember growing up and there was a lot of push about women in you know, like even like porn magazines, the old Playboys and shit, like women, real women don't look like that. Or like the commercials with hair products and beauty products. And, you know, there was a huge discussion going on about real women don't look like that. And, you know, not feeling represented fully in women or big women or, you know, all different colors and shapes and sizes. And
right.
So I don't know where I was going with that point, but it's something we've seen, I think, for a long time when it comes to individual representation in these pieces of content that reach everybody. So I don't expect there to ever be a case where every single person can feel represented in film. But then what is what can Hollywood do in TV, film, advertisements to help curb the lack of representation?
I think the easiest way to do it is to give the people that are creating the content that we want to see more chances. Like, you see,
well, that's a tricky statement you just said there.
What do you mean?
You're kind of going into adding additional privileges to other people,
right?
And not others,
right? So instead of basing it on merit, you know, then it turns into using skin color to kind of, mm-hmm, amplify voices that may or may not deserve that shot, mm-hmm, right? Which I could definitely make the argument, but I also think that at some point, I think we have to find a happy balance. Because if you look at the way things are right now in Hollywood, it's much better now than it was 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
It's much better now. But I think that we can do a little more. Like, I think black folks can, I think black people should help more black people than they do now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just going to say it. You know, I can't even begin to tell you how many times I have been called, you know, all sorts of Uncle Toms or whatever the fuck the case, you know, whatever it is that the new insult is for that. And the usual reason for them calling me that is because I'll say something like, hey, instead of blaming, you know, the white man for your issues, why don't you just take a look at inward and see what happened that you did that could have put you in that position. I know I'm going to get a shitstorm for this. I don't give a fuck, but I think people need to get off of like blaming other people for wherever you're at, you know, and if you can just keep fighting, don't give up.
Yeah.
Just keep fighting. Even if you don't get whatever it is that you're trying to get, go another way and try to get to where it is that you're trying to be.
But we're seeing the results of those fighting because we have a term now, forced diversity. You know, that term exists now due to the fighting and getting representation into the workplace and the TV and film. So who's actually pissed about forced diversity? To me, that sounds like a negative term. And I think I've seen it being used in that way. I've never seen it in sort of a positive light.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find where is forced diversity good or bad?
When it's the forced part at the beginning, when you add forced into it, it automatically feels like, yeah, it automatically has a negative vibe to it. Mm-hmm. Just because it's like you're forcing me to do something that I don't necessarily want to do.
Right.
I used to get in trouble with, not get in trouble, but I've had an argument with my old supervisor at two jobs ago where we were having a company meeting and they were sending out these emails about, you know, making sure that we hire more minorities this holiday season for, you know, for the upcoming holiday season. And I pushed back a little bit on that. And I said, well, hey, like, you know, yes, I'm that guy. I pushed back and said, you know, like, that's like almost the definition of racism. Like,
Didn't you just say that black people need to help more black people?
They do. No, but see, but that's why I would
be fought back on hiring minorities.
No, I was more upset about that because I was thinking like the area that I worked at, right? There's a specific clientele there and it makes sense to hire more black people, right? More minorities because the area I worked in, that was primarily what shopped there.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels wrong to say to somebody, you need to only hire people based on their skin color.
Yeah.
I don't know why it bothers me to my core. And I feel like that's not what I didn't fight anything, but our ancestors and our grandparents and our great grandparents did not fight for special treatment. They fought for equal treatment.
Right.
And that I do also want to say that black people have been mistreated long enough that maybe they deserve a little special treatment.
Well, that is part of what I was going to say in my opinion on the subject in general. But before I go there, I mean, I'm glad you brought up the example that you saw this firsthand where, you know, somebody who is responsible for hiring would blatantly said we need to hire more minorities, because I've always wondered that. I've never been a part of any hiring process where it was like, okay, we need two more blacks and one more female. Like, right. So it was hard for me to know. And part of why I think that it's kind of there's some foggy area to this whole discussion is there documentation of there being like a rule set for how diverse or like, is it one-to-one equality across like a staff of workers? Do we need, if you have six headcount, do you hire three white people, three black people, and, you know, two women on each one, and one white female, one black female on each side. And then, but I mean, we're obviously kind of boiling this down simplistically, but.
Right. Well, no, but that's how my previous employer did. You know, I'm telling you, we would get emails and it would be like, this store just hired four new minorities. This store hired three more. This store hired two women. This store hired three Latinos. And it's like, That I don't know why, but the entire time of reading all those emails, it like I felt like my ancestors were coming at me like, what the fuck? This feels wrong. I can't really explain it. It just feels wrong to but at the same time, I know this is one of those situations, or not situations, but this is one of those topics where I'm at war with myself constantly, because my black side is like pro black people, this all, I want all black people to live happy and prosperous lives. Right. But then the other side is kind of like, well, hold on, dude, you don't want to put down someone else to elevate you, you know? So I'm probably going to contradict myself a lot this topic. I probably have a few times already, but.
Well, I mean, it's because we're taught, you know, I know you're a decent human being, and, you know, we're taught to not judge anybody based on the color of their skin. And in hiring practices, in that example specifically, you're judging somebody based on the color of their skin, because somebody who is white, you judge them for being white and they didn't get the job. So, and we're taught to not do that. And so that's exactly why that feels wrong. Mm-hmm. Now, I do get why we have to do this right now. And I think we do have to do this to some degree. And I'll try to be careful with my words, because we're in a point where companies and jobs, like, you know, even Hollywood, storytelling and content that minorities just weren't allowed to be a part of that.
Right.
And it would be shocking if they were. And so what that led to, years and years of this kind of harboring that way, even in the workplace and in middle-class jobs and high firms or whatever, high-class firms, due to our history, these are built places, these companies are built in a way that there is no diversity until now, like until equality came about, and, you know, cultural sentiment is finally believing in those equalities, and to some degree, there's still plenty of room there. But I think we have to swing the pendulum in the other way a little bit to drastically improve the diversity within these companies and within our media. I think in 200 years from now, if we haven't blown ourselves up, you know, this won't be an issue, because what we're kind of doing with the forced diversity subject is we're kind of training the public eye to be okay with there being not just white people in the show, or not just white people on the ad, or not just white people in the boardroom. You know, we're training by force to let people know that this is okay, and, you know, suck it up. Like, if you're racist, then we don't want nothing to do with you. But I do think there are other ways to improve this. And there was an article I read, you know, where, you know, forced diversity isn't the only answer. And what we do tend to see with forced diversity is it doesn't improve, you know, the company. It's just improving them in a public fashion, as almost if it's a political campaign, you know?
Yeah.
They're just trying to get brownie points. So there's no real change happening. They're throwing a trophy out there and saying, hey, look, we have a black guy as our main actor. Mm-hmm. We're part of the cool crowd, you know?
Right. Right.
But
it's the same thing with go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. You're in the middle.
I just one more point. And from this article that I read is what companies need to do. And even, I don't know how much this would pertain to Hollywood, but companies in the workplace in general, is to improve inclusivity first. And then if you improve inclusivity, then you naturally create a diverse workplace. So what that means, and what I took out of this article, was that if, say, you have a company that hires two candidates, one's male, one's female, both have the same experience, both same knowledge, everything, but the company majority males, so there's a higher chance that the female candidate, even though they have the same work experience, they may have a different experience being at this company due to it largely being mostly males.
Right.
Now, and that's all based on how the company operates. You know, if they promote inclusivity, you know, and they create a healthy environment for the female working class to be a part of this majority male group, then what that does is she's going to have a good experience, you know, and And what that does is it creates this positive inclusivity to this company that as you continue on, as the company continues to grow, you start naturally becoming more diverse because then more women are going to start working there. And, you know, you hear things like the video game industry, what's the League of Legends company that's supposedly really horrible bro house, you know?
Yeah. Riot Games or whatever.
Riot Games. Yeah. So that's what I took from this article. And it really struck well with me is that you have to first, you know, promote positive inclusivity within your company, then you naturally get the diversity part of it instead of forcing diversity, which, you know, there are some articles I read that there are negative effects to forced diversity. You get, you know, disgruntled employees like yourself, like that are feeling some type of way, you know, maybe you don't pinpoint what that is, but you feel some type of way about that, which isn't good.
No. And it like, as far as the workplace goes, diversity is always a good thing when it comes to it's always a good thing when it comes to certain positions. And it's, you know, it's based on your clientele, you know, like if you I'm about to name drop a city, but if you work in Calumet City, you probably don't want I'm about to say the most there. You don't want a Karen working there. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, like it's not a good idea just because, you know, I hate to say it. I'm not going to say her name, but I had a Karen that worked for me at my last employer, and they walked all over her, you know, because they walked all over her because she just didn't fit the clientele.
It was done in Dangerous Minds.
Yeah, but see, I don't know if you should base real life on movies. You know, I get it, but you know, I don't think that's a good idea. With the workplace, I think it works when you're trying to be diverse and you're trying to fit the clientele. But then there's also, you know, a diversity of thought. My same thing. I know I keep going back to my previous employer, but diversity of thought is an important step too, because if let's say I get 20, I'm just going to say I used to work for GameStop and I had 20, you know, let's say 20 applicants, right? 19 of them knew about video games and they knew everything about video games that could be possible. But the 20th would be someone who doesn't know shit about video games, but they fall into this category that the company is really pushing for us to hire.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then now, you know, I'm dealing with, you know, someone who does like, dude, this person was like, I'll never forget. They were trying to sell a game and they were like, the customer wanted Killzone and they were like, what's that? What system does that come on? And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like I'm not expecting them to be a master of all video games, but you should know something if you sell them. You know what I mean? Like you should know something about them.
Yeah. But do you trust that we are responsible enough to, when it comes, if we were to say hire based only on merit, based on experience, based on who's best for the job, and you have those 20 applicants and say 10 are white, 10 are black, do you trust that the hiring person is white, we'll just in this example we'll say they're white, do you trust they are responsible enough to make the call without any subconscious biasness towards their own race to hire the best without any biasness at all? Are we responsible enough to make those decisions yet?
I don't know. And only because I know from personal experiences, you know, I've worked with people who are black and they went out of their way to make sure they never hired someone with a black name. They would be like, oh, I'm definitely not hiring this person. Look at how black this name is. And it would, you know, kind of blow my mind. Like, bro, you the name shouldn't matter. It should be
right.
The other shit on this piece of paper.
Well, I think that's more blatant racism than anything.
Go ahead. Keep going.
No, that's it. That's racist. But is there, I'm looking at sort of more the subconscious level of biasness towards, you know, somebody that looks like you, than not, you know, are we mature enough now to where those are not part of the factor when it comes to it? And that's the only thing I can lend to as to why the forced part is necessary at this point, because I don't know if we are mature enough and responsible enough to make those calls without any subconscious biasness or even just general biasness. But those are just assholes who haven't really come to grips with diversity and the idea of diversity in general.
Right. Right. And that's why I'm really trying to be careful with my wording, because I don't want it to seem like I'm trying to come off as
blatant racist.
Yeah. I mean, like, oh, F all minorities. Like, that's not what I'm saying, you know. And anyone listening to this, if you're getting upset by my words, I'm going to assume you either are misunderstanding what I'm saying, or you're not paying attention, because I'm not mm-hmm. saying anything against anybody. What I'm saying is, I think diversity, in my opinion, diversity is always a good idea, right? I think it's always.
Now, I do want to add. I want to stop you there, because I do want to ask you, why is diversity important, and why is it better for there to be diversity than there to be not?
Well, I think it could be good, because I think diversity, it kind of lets you see the world from a different point of view, right? Mm-hmm. And it allows you to see the world from, like, you wouldn't want someone, like, I wouldn't want you to become the mayor of Chicago Heights, because you don't know what life in Chicago Heights is like. You're just going off of what you know where you lived, right?
Are you saying that because you know where I'm from, or are you saying that because I'm white?
Well, no, I'm saying that because of where you're from.
Okay.
Not necessarily because you're white. And the reason why I give you a little bit more leeway is because I knew you grew up around Black people.
Yeah. Right?
So you're familiar with, you know, Black issues and things that really are important to Black folks.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I wouldn't want that'd be, well, this might be a bad example, but that's like asking Donald Trump to become the mayor of Chicago Heights.
Well, he was when president.
All he knows about is, you know, Long Island and, you know, and shit like that. He didn't know anything about Black issues, you know. So, no, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I think diversity is a good idea, because it allows you to see things from different points of view and different upbringings.
But could you put a number on how much more productive, say, a diverse company is versus one that's not?
I couldn't put a number on it, just because, you know, to me, numbers are, I get that they can be, informative, but I'm also on the side of that numbers can also be manipulated.
Yeah. It's really hard to quantify this. Right. Yeah.
Like, you see people going on polls, like, yeah, 70% of people want Medicare for all. And it's like, well, I wasn't asked that question, so how the fuck do you have, you know? I see that all the time. You know, my dad is the one that kind of raised me on that. Like, hey, when you see someone saying 70% or any percent of anything and you weren't asked that question, then it doesn't matter what that number is.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could pull 100 Trump supporters and ask them, how do they think about Trump? You're going to get more than likely 95%. They're going to be like, he did a good job. And then you can go right on TV and say, well, 95% of voters like Trump. And that's just not reality. You know what I mean?
Right. And it would be hard to compare two teams, one that's makes up all one culture or race, versus one that is a diverse group.
Exactly. That's why I almost never use numbers or any sort of statistics in my arguments, just because I know I can go on Fox News and get numbers that go one way. I can go on CNN and get numbers that go the other way.
You know? But for the general promotion of a healthy culture, diversity is the way to go.
I think now, okay. So when I say diversity, because I can kind of hear it in my head now of someone saying, well, hey, well, if you want diversity, then, you know, you should allow, you know, pedophiles and killers and, you know.
No, nobody is saying that.
No, there are people out there like that.
There's nobody saying.
See, there you go with those definitive words. I guarantee
even the pedophiles like, no.
Nah. No, I don't think, I think.
I have enough representation in those Lifetime movies, said the pedophile.
I'm glad you added that last little part there, because I was definitely about to call you out on that. Like, whoa, there, buddy. This podcast needs to end right now. Holy shit. Completely unrelated. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. But no, I think just from my own personal opinion, I think diversity is good, and I think it can do good. You know, I think it can be good, but there's just a certain level that I think we should go. You know, like, yeah. I don't need Michael B. Jordan to be Superman, you know, like I'd rather Michael B. Jordan be another superhero. He could even be Superman, just not Clark.
Not Clark Kent. Clint.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like if they do that, I'm fine with it. I just don't like it when it feels like a hand-me-down, you know, like here, fuck you. Take this character, you know,
yeah.
Here's that diversity. Go fuck yourself.
I mean, you could argue that when Superman was created, there was not a single chance for that character to ever be anything other than white.
True. That is true. Because at that time, black representation was not great at all.
Right.
I mean,
so
yeah.
That is the question, right? Do we stick to that knowing that there was never a chance for anybody other than a white person to play some of these iconic roles? Or do we, you know, just be okay with the fact that it can be changed up now? And does it really matter if he's black or white? Does it really matter? Or are we stuck to the canon that, no, Clark Kent was a white guy, so he has to be white through all history?
See, now I'm glad you put it that way, because I'm first of all, you know, there aren't many hills that I die on.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So if they make Michael B. Jordan Clark Kent, I don't give a fuck.
Like, right. No, I know.
But I just, again, I can't help but think in the back of my head, like, you couldn't have given us like our own character, or we couldn't have, we don't have anyone out there who's made a Superman like character. Mm-hmm. That you could have, you know, amplified, or you could have gone with instead. But I, like you said, there are characters that were created long ago to where, you know, there was no chance a black character was going to be, you know, I mean, Superman was created. And I mean, I can't think of a single black superhero other than, I mean, in the Justice League, other than what, Cyborg? That's probably like when yeah. I think of Superman and his entire comic book run, I'm having a hard time thinking about some black folk in Superman's world.
Yeah. But like you said, that's opportunity for new characters, yeah, right? That, right, you know, can represent this point in our time where it is absolutely okay for there to be a unique black superhero that is just new and doesn't come from Marvel or DC, or, you know, is just completely unique and new to that's been developed within this time with those, I mean, you see some of the early black superheroes in comics, yeah. They're racist as fuck. Yeah. You don't want to see those coming to the screen, do you?
No, I don't want to see. Yeah, there's definitely certain characters or cartoons or anime or whatever you want to call it. There's definitely certain characters that I would never want to see remade in modern day, or I mean, at least, you know, redone. Mm-hmm. In today's age. But
I think that's a part of forced diversity, but I think it's like a separate branch of it almost, because we have the branch of like the recast of the canon, and then we also have just straight up implementing a disingenuous diversity amongst a group, a cast, whatever have you. So we have these kind of two. They're both kind of the same. I think the recasting one is a little silly. I mean, I don't know. Just stick to the canon. Like that's the safe bet right there. Just stick mm-hmm. to the canon and just mm-hmm. go from there.
Kind of going back to the Wesker announcement. I mean, you should have seen the photo that they released of the cast announcement of.
I did see it.
Yeah, and I mean, did you notice anything in particular?
Yeah.
The main character that the show one of the main characters that the show is based on is completely missing from that photo, who happens to be male. And, you know, that to me felt like that was forced. It felt like you were trying to point out how diverse the cast is. But then you leave off the main character from the show. Mm-hmm. Like the show is it's about Leon and Claire. And then there's two stories. You've got Leon and Claire's story with Wesker, and then you've got 10 years into the future of Wesker's two daughters.
Yeah.
But why not? Why was Leon not anywhere in the photo? And also to point out, I mean, all the women that were on that photo, we don't know who any of those characters are. They only told us that Wesker, that Lance Riddick was Wesker.
Yeah.
And it felt forced, you know. It felt like they were trying so hard to point out how diverse the cast is. It makes me think that the writing might be awful, because you're trying so hard to point that out. Did you focus on anything else?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's why, I mean, it can work, you know. I think diversity can work in a lot of ways, but I think it can really hurt the cause too, because then you've got people who are like, you know, well, I'm not gonna see it now because they're trying to force this diversity shit down my throat, you know. And I mean,
but it's what we wear them out. But you said it's better, it's what we need, it's to promote a healthy culture. Like, it's so, like, how else can you go about doing it without it being perceived in any way as force?
Well, I think they can go about it the right way, but it's when it feels forced. It's when it feels like you're making me see how diverse it is.
Yeah. And I think that's, personally, I think that's, in my opinion, in my opinion, personally, I think that is just sort of a side effect of the storm that we see. You said you read it on Twitter all the time. Look at it. It's all just all boring white men, or I don't feel represented in this. So it's almost a side effect of that. We see this huge shift, a swing, and yeah, it becomes forced until the storm clears, and then just storytelling can just naturally evolve. We can hire the best actor for the world. There is no strong black woman type cast, you know. It's a strong female character, you know. It doesn't have to be black or white. And I think we will get to that point, but this is where we're at right now. It's almost, if you could put this shit on a timeline and logically see how this shit develops, when you have a reaction from the public that says, you know, I'm sick of just seeing only white people, you know, people are having more opportunities to have a voice out there, and it's being used. I mean, you and I at least agree, and I think a lot of people can agree, that diversity is a good thing. It's a positive thing. This is just a side effect of the shift that, you know, when the plate shift, there's an earthquake, right? This is the earthquake that's happening. Shit's going to settle down, and then we'll see a little bit more genuine and natural development in things like this. Now, that's a little bit separate from the workplace, but it is the same concept, I believe. When you have like diversity training in the workplace or diversity hiring practices, there's strong elements to that that are swinging so aggressively to one way in order to break through and change the status quo. So there's going to be turmoil is what I'm basically trying to say. And if you have any other thoughts on that, I know you brought up diversity of thought. I think that's a semi-separate topic. So what exactly were you talking about in that?
So in that idea? I was in a Twitter exchange. This was some years ago, I think. And I mean, it's over a year ago. And the person was basically trying to point out, like, hey, like, diversity of thought should be just as important as diversity of skin color. Because again, when you go back to what I was saying of, you know, you wouldn't want someone who's lived in a high acidity suburbs to try to run, you know, a low income neighborhood. You want someone who's familiar with it and what needs to be done to fix the issue, right? And so diversity of thought is part of that as well. You know, you don't want someone to think the same way as the last person, because the last person is, they didn't fix what the issue is to begin with. You, mm-hmm. the whole point of appointing a new person is because they don't think the same, you know? So the person was kind of pointing out, like, me and you being born and raised in Chicago, me and you, Jen.
Yeah.
Or in Illinois. Me and you being born and raised in Illinois is not diversity of thought the same way as me versus like DSB born from, wait, is he? He's in Illinois too, isn't he?
He is in Illinois.
Okay, that's a bad choice. It was the first person that popped in my head, but you know, or just anyone else that's not born in the same state. Or paranormal. Paranormal's out of the country, isn't he?
Yeah.
Right. So paranormal, right? Paranormal is in a different country altogether. That is a kind of diversity of thought that I'm talking about. Like, I don't want two people who think alike to run this. I'm like all over the place.
I don't know if you have to go so far, pulled out that far, to where like no. People of the same state, you know, have no diversity of thought when it comes to that. I mean, you and I mean, we grew up in the same similar areas, but we have very different upbringings, very different adventures in life. Right. We argue all the time, or I shouldn't say argue sometimes, but we exchange
right
thoughts from our different experiences and backgrounds that lead to a positive outcome or discussion or breakaway from that conversation, which I think is what you're trying to get at, is that, you know, if you and I thought the same on every single thing, what's the point of having that conversation? You know, like, am I looking in the mirror?
Well, right. Well, the exchange before was pretty much trying to point out that a black person from Chicago is diverse from a black person in the UK.
Like, sure.
Their skin color may be the same, but they have completely different upbringing. They weren't raised on the same education. They weren't raised on the same values, most likely. You know, there's differences there. So instead of trying to focus on something that's just skin deep, maybe go a little deeper. You know what I mean? Don't just stop at the skin color and go, oh, hey, cool, black person, cool, you're it.
Yeah.
Go a little deeper. See what it is that they, you know, because perfect example, me, right? I can guarantee you there are going to be some black people that are listening to this right now, and they're going to think that I just said some off the wall shit, that I'm awful, I'm a race traitor or some shit like that. You're telling me that you're going to want me to run what you are looking for to get fixed? No, you want someone who doesn't think like me because of how much you dislike what I'm saying. That's my whole point.
But I wouldn't even classify you as like such an oddball. I mean, amongst all my black friends, like
you would think that, dude, but I guarantee. I'm just looking. There's two people in particular that when this goes live and I know they're going to hear this, that I'm just waiting for that message on Discord or a text message that's going to be like, hey, do you know why this is wrong? Why you're wrong about this? And it's like, look, sure, I get it. You're entitled to your opinion. I'm happy to hear
you as an individual of thought. It has nothing to do with. Well, no, I mean, it's the culmination of everything that is you. Yes.
Right. Yeah. But even then, dude, my upbringing, I don't know how to explain it. Like my upbringing, I have two incredibly liberal parents. Right. Mm-hmm. And I would classify myself as a liberal. But I also am willing to call out my side as well.
Yeah.
Like, hey, that's stupid. Don't do that. You know, I have no problem saying when my side is fucking up. Whereas I think that's where people get me with the race traitor or whatever, Uncle Tom or whatever. When I'm willing to say like, hey, like I get it. I get what you're saying. But we need to also fix us as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want the world to think that it's everyone else's responsibility to fix us.
Well, I mean, I would classify you as somebody who is able to evolve and adapt and, you know, change your thought based on personal feeling, based on logic, based on a lot of different circumstances to lead into that. When you see sort of what the opposite of diversity of thought is the echo chambers, right? Where there's nobody challenging your thoughts or your beliefs or anything like that. And that therein lies the problem with having a lack of diversity of thought, is that you have no opportunity to grow or if you're, it's just that there's no opportunity to grow. You're stuck in the same thought process with other people, and you have there's nothing to, and that lends to the entire conversation of why diversity is important, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, it's all exhausting. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's such a weird thing. Like with me, with me being the type of person that I am, where it is very important for me to see both sides of every, or all sides of everything. You know, I do it with everything, even as something as I'm not even going to say that, because those comments are going to be rough if I make that statement. But like, I think with anything, you know, I have to see all sides, because that's just how my brain works. Mm-hmm. You know, like I don't look at this situation and go, oh, this person's automatically at fault because of X, or this person is automatically the victim because of Y. You know? Like, I don't think anyone should live like that. But I'm also aware enough to know that my logic should not be forced on everyone else.
No, it shouldn't be.
You know.
However, our society right now, in America at least, is structured in a way that sort of blocks a lot of opportunity for there to be diversity of thought. When you look at social media, if you're able to put, or even the news, in the news outlets, if we're able to apply a political standing to an entire social structure like that, to me, that feels absolutely wrong, in that it does not promote diversity of thought. And many of the people on, say, Twitter that are promoting this diversity completely contradict themselves when there's no diversity of the thought side of it, when they have no room to open up their ideas to anybody else and shit on anybody else that thinks differently from them. How can you contradict yourself in such a manner? It blows my mind.
Yeah. I mean, but that's just, you know, that's just a part of being a human, I guess, you know, like, or not being a human, but just the way our life and our culture is. You know, everyone's got to be right. No one's willing to sit down and listen to the other side, you know? And I think that's why when you and I have our discussions, I think anyone who's listened to the podcast knows that you and I don't debate anywhere near as hostile as you and Sage do. And right. I think a lot of that is because I have an opinion, but I'm also open to having my mind changed. Mm-hmm. I'm also open to listening to other sides of the story, you know.
But the problem when it comes to these corporations and companies that allow conversation, when you talk about, like, are the people willing to hear somebody else? Possibly, but when the company itself straight up bans people for using words, not even like derogatory words or offensive stuff, but, or what they deem as offensive, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's the company sort of putting up the fences and putting the walls and allowing these echo chambers to naturally occur, when, you know, it feels good to be a part of somebody who thinks like you, but you may not understand that there is benefit to talking to somebody that thinks differently from you.
I definitely think if the country ran off that very simple principle, I think we would be in a much better place, you know, as a whole. If everyone was willing to listen to the other side and then just be a little bit nicer. Like, I shut down whenever someone starts throwing out insults in a debate, where I'm like, all right, now yeah. I'm debating a child, and I don't argue with children, so I'm not going to do that.
There's a lot of science behind that too, when it comes to argumentative speech and being able to actually connect with somebody in conversing. You know, the more aggressive you get, the more louder you talk at somebody, you only strengthen their ability to listen to you less.
Yeah. Yeah. We both know somebody like that. when they're in a debate, we both know who I'm talking about, but have you ever been in a situation, or no, you have, where you're trying to debate that person on a very specific topic, actually a topic very similar to this one, and mm-hmm. they're just locked in. They refuse to listen to any other point. They refuse to listen to any sort of, you know, logic or reason or just straight up facts, mm-hmm. you know, and unfortunately that person is, I would even go as far as to say maybe half the country, you know, where it's like, no one's willing to listen. No one wants to learn anymore. People figure out whatever it is that reinforces their thought, and then that's it. Mm-hmm. They kind of just, they, like you said, they read one book, they read one article, and they're locked in, you know, and people need to diversity. It's not just skin deep. I don't think it should just be skin deep.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think
it should go a little further, because again, you look at, every black person listening to this right now, I know you can think of at least one black person that has said some stuff that you completely disagree with. And then I want you to apply that person into the position that you think is going to fix whatever the issues you think are. Mm-hmm. And then does diversity help you at that point? I don't think so. Right. But at the same time, to kind of contradict that,
contra-rick is what we're calling
contra-rick. Yeah. But no, like to kind of contradict that a little bit, it's like, where does it end? There's always going to be that next big fight. There's always I don't think any of the issues that black people are going through, I don't know if there's any sort of end in sight for something like that.
Yeah.
That's a whole different topic in and of itself, of just of black issues. But one day.
Well, right now you got diversity.
Yeah.
And we're diverse as fuck right now, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. We got we got you. We got myself. We're missing our two other
We need a female. Dang it, we're not diverse.
Well, we need a few things if we want to be diverse. we're definitely going to need a few things.
Apparently, we need a pedophile on the show, too.
Well, hold on.
For the baby people?
Yeah, the baby people. There you go. No, we don't want to go that diverse. But, I mean, 3/4 of the hosts are black. so I think we're diverse.
You just set me up to get canceled, and I'm not going to fall into it.
No, I don't. I would never want you to get canceled. If anybody, I'm trying to get canceled.
No, you were trying to get me to say we need more white people. That's what you're trying.
No. That wasn't what I was going to say. I was going to say, dude, again, if anybody on this podcast I'm trying to get canceled, it's definitely RC.
Yeah, of course.
You edit it out most of the time, but.
Boy,
people, if you're listening to this, you should hear some of the foul shit that RC says when at the very beginning of the recording, and then Genesis or DSB edited it out so to not make him look awful. And you all should hear the stuff RC says. It's some foul shit.
Yes,
it's awful. Like he said something about, okay, never mind. I'm not
going to. Okay, yeah. And with that, is there any final things you want to talk about on this episode before we wrap things up?
No, I think I just thought of something that, I think I might have a problem.
Well, you might?
I definitely have a problem. But no, as far as the topic goes, no.
Well, I guess in closing, I mean, this is obviously we only touched kind of the very top level of this topic, and it's very much a gray area. There's a lot of unquantifiable things that go into forced diversity. There's a lot of feeling. There's a lot of perception. We have examples of the force occurring. And like I said earlier, diversity should be the outcome of the efforts you put into it and not the condition that you try to impose. One thing I do want to point out on when we talk about some of these deeper, more, somewhat controversial, topics of discussion, the things that we're doing here on the Haven Exchange, and the big point is to exchange, these ideas and our thoughts amongst each other. And when you go to talk about and discuss the episodes such as this, I want to make it clear, listen to the other person's comment before, reacting in an aggressive manner or reacting from your gut, exchange these thoughts with the discussions on the things that we talk about. Even when it comes to us, the things we say on these episodes, we try to put some thought into it prior to this, but sometimes we say things that just come out. So we want to make sure that when we go to talk about these things as a group, as a whole, as people coming and listening to the episode, and as we talk to each other, the idea is that we just want to talk and exchange these thoughts. So keep that in mind when you talk about this stuff amongst each other. I've seen some great discussions in our community between some of our past episodes, specifically one where we talked about, the minimum wage and raising that. There was a lot of conversation that came out of that, and it was a very healthy conversation to see a lot of different points of view. And then that's something I want to encourage, you know, this idea of exchanging these thoughts amongst us. So just wanted to put that out there as we, you know, bounce around from very silly episodes to some of these deeper ones that, are, I guess, more culturally relevant, culturally important to the promotion of a better future. So with that, thank you for tuning in. My name is Genesis. You know where to find me over on twitch.tv/Genesis_GH, where I make an absolute fool out of myself. And you would never think that I could probably have conversations like this based on my Twitch streaming over there. But check me out. Let's have some fun. As well as shout outs to the Gamers Haven Network for always tuning in and listening to the episodes week over week. We love your support, as well as everybody out there that is listening to us, from our friends and our family. We love you. Thank you so much. Rick, tell them where the people can find you after the show.
Well, you could definitely still find me on Twitch. I am twitch.tv/phantom_GH. Where I'm streaming all kinds of stuff. I'm going to get back into the horror games. So be prepared to, you know, hear me scream a lot and or cry. So there's that. There's also Twitter at @phantom_GHN. I'm always on Twitter. I'm always, you know, either talking shit or, you know, saving memes or something like that. That's pretty much it. I do want to give a big, big shout out to Rosie O'Donnell, though. I know that Rosie's been listening to every episode, and we greatly appreciate you for that.
Thanks, Rosie. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of the Haven Exchange Podcast. Tune in next week for an all-new episode. We'll see you then. Peace out.
Peace.
In the Middle East.
That's diverse.
I know, right?
This is the Haven Exchange.